I'm John Batchelor. Canada in the Great War, Canada in the Second World War, Canada in Korea, and now an announcement from Canada's Prime Minister. I read from the Hamilton Spectator. A Canadian warship departed for Europe in the Black Sea near Russia on Wednesday, as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau admitted to fears of a Russian invasion in Ukraine. Trudeau went on to accuse Russia of trying to start a fight with Ukraine and promised Canada's support to the Ukrainian people, who are on edge as 100,000 Russian troops sit on their country's eastern border. I welcome Conrad Black, writing at the National Post and other distinguished publications. Conrad is an historian of Canadian history, and especially a matter of the Canadian efforts in the Great War, the Second War, the Korean War. I noted over the years when I read stories that the Canadians are always somewhere around the main battle. And that was true in the Great War. The Canadian contingent was vital to the final 100 days of the war, along with the Australians. They led the way and cracked the German lines. I learned from history, the Canadian Encyclopedia, that in a nation of 8 million people in 1914, Canada sent 600,000 to the Great War in Europe, 66,000 dead. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Mr. Trudeau's remarks are well taken. He leads a country that has been first in defense, even though it wasn't involved intimately in the decisions of the Second War. It joined in right away. But here we have the Prime Minister in the 21st century sending a Canadian warship off to in harm's way. Is this popular? Is this consistent? Is this the Justin Trudeau we've talked about before? Because I celebrate him. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, they're distinguishable situations, but coming to similar conclusions. And you might mention that of the 630,000 Canadians in World War One, they were all almost all volunteers, and we weren't under any threat. So they volunteered for, you know, the cause of freedom elsewhere. And in the Second World War, we weren't under threat either, and we sent an even larger number, approximately 1 million people, and of course, in a larger population. But and in that war, Canada was for the first 10 days officially a neutral, and then the Canadian Parliament declared war on Germany. But in this situation, I think what Justin Trudeau is doing does have public support. I would emphasize that I believe Canada has the largest Ukrainian population of any country in the world except the Ukraine. And there would be strong sentiment throughout this country from that community of, I think, a couple of million people, to be helpful to Ukraine. And I think that would influence him, but I'm not suggesting he's doing it just on that basis. I mean, I think Canadians in general don't approve of and are prepared to work with others to deter or counter acts of aggression by larger countries against smaller ones in parts of the world that we have some connection to, and that would include Europe. I mean, I can't say this reaction would be exactly the same if there was this is a complete conjuration here, but a war between Argentina and Paraguay or Namibia and South Africa or something. But with those parts of the world that we have a close relationship with, I think Canadians want collective security and be prepared to do their part.
I learned that there's a 200-soldier Canadian training mission in Ukraine right now. I also learned that Ukraine has consistently requested from Canada arms, and the Prime Minister's remarks about that. We're looking at many different factors when we make decisions on how to best support the people of Ukraine. The bottom line is we will be there to continue supporting the people of Ukraine through multiple levels and layers of support. What is striking to me is that Canada would be very straightforward for Canada to stay out of this fight. Canada is a member of NATO, but as we both read in the newspapers, NATO is divided, harshly divided, over supporting Ukraine. And Germany's going one way, and the other players are question marks. The ones in the East are adamant about standing up to Russian aggression. The ones in the West, not so much. Is Canada?
Well, I think the British are pretty solid. I think the French are fairly solid, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I mean, the French. I'm not sure. But the British, yes. Ben Wallace, the defense secretary.
But they have the traditional mentality of great powers who act like great powers, and they still are very important countries, and they're nuclear powers. Germany has got extremely wobbly, as we know. But those countries that were formerly in the Soviet bloc, like Poland, for example, would all count, I think, as pretty strenuous supporters of Ukrainians against Russians.
Then what we're looking at here is Canada volunteering itself again. In other words, getting involved in this. And
I think Justin's response has been intelligent, measured, and enjoys broad public support, I would think.
I might even measure that it is more clear than we have from the Biden administration now about how he will involve. He's got troops on the ground in Ukraine. I do not believe the U.S. can match that, 200 or 2,000 or whatever. Your measure of what we know so far of the conflict in Europe, is this a return to the Cold War? Do you have instincts that we're drawing an iron curtain again in some fashion along the Russian frontier?
And I wouldn't say that. No, we always knew when the Soviet Union disintegrated that the Russians would not entirely accept that in good part. I mean, Ukraine was part of Russia from Peter the Great's time on, and you know, that's now approximately 300 years, and you don't just give up that easily large chunks of what had been your country for a long time, even if the independence movements appeared to be supported by most of the locals. So, Putin version of this is that Ukraine isn't a real country, that a large part of their population is Russian, and a further part is pro-Russian, though not Russian, in fact Russian, and that it's not just an independent country like France or Germany or Spain or Canada or something. Its status is ambiguous, and Russia has a legitimate interest there. And there, he can make, or the those who argue that case can make a plausible argument, but that does not justify recourse to force against what is, whether the Russians like it or not, an independent country, and one whose independence they've technically acquiesced for 30 years. So I think what we need is a firm but judicious stance in the West, and given the correlation of forces, obviously we all look to the United States to provide that. And in fairness, throughout the Cold War period, I think you had 10 presidents of 5 of each party, and with the rarest exceptions, the leadership given by those presidents was not more than adequate and often inspiring. And I think we're all waiting for a clearer indication from this administration than we got from the president yesterday. I mean, a quasi expression of toleration of a minor incursion is not, in my opinion, I don't want to second guess the holder of such a great office, but I don't think that's quite the message we want to send. And the clarification sent out by the White House right after the press conference indicates that that was their view also on reflection.
The prime minister was much, much more adamant than I hear the president of the United States. The Canadian Armed Forces, the Canadian Foreign Service, our multilateral partners, we're all looking at a range of possibilities and contingencies to make sure that we are best able to keep people safe and support the Ukrainian people. That is clear cut, Conrad. Good for Trudeau.
Yep, I agree. I agree with him. I don't agree with him on everything, but I certainly do here. And, I'm a believer in that old American expression that partisanship ends at the water's edge. When we're in this kind of thing, we should all be singing off the same song sheet. I just add this, John, that Finland, which is technically a neutral country, has never been a member of NATO. As soon as Putin stated his conditions a couple of weeks ago, Finland said that is outrageous. NATO will decide who comes into NATO and not the Russians. And Finland isn't even a member of NATO. They were taking a stronger stance earlier than most of the NATO countries were, but they were right, of course.
Conrad Black, a distinguished historian in Toronto, a Canadian, also Lord Black of the English Parliament. Canada, follow me, says Canada. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.